This is the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. And so we want to speak toward that because I have observed just here recently, I was astonished at some the churches that I had thought to be really sound doctrinally and are sound doctrinally, but somehow, some way got caught up in this same vein that our Catholic brothers got caught up in trying to compromise with the world and call themselves giving an alternative to this Day of the Dead, and which we are not to compromise. We are not to compromise with the world at all, and we surely are not to compromise with the devil at all. So that will never work. Compromise will never work in no place, either be it the kingdom of God, the kingdom of men, or even the kingdom of the devil. You know, the devil don't compromise. He may counterfeit, but he doesn't compromise. When he gets in a position where he can demand, he will demand, and he will, if he can get a toehold, amen, then he will do that to get in. But he's not doing it in the spirit of compromise. He's doing it in the spirit of deception, hallelujah, and in the spirit of corruption and of destruction, amen. So, amen, it is never wise to do that. We can't compromise our values. We can't compromise our beliefs. We can't compromise at all, amen. So we have to stand steadfast in the face, in the faith, and trust God for all things, and speak the truth, and speak it in love, and yet we must indeed continue to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. I'd like to offer to you today a publication that I found in my archives that I will have gotten permission from Southwest Radio Church, and I would encourage any of our, all of our listeners, I would encourage every one of you out there that are dialing in to tune in to the Southwest Radio Church. You can reach them at P.O. Box 1144, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73101. You can call them at 1-800-652-1144. Amen. And they will be glad to tell you more about themselves, and they are a good group of brothers and sisters in Christ, a good group of folks, and have been around for a long time, and are quite on fire for the Lord. And this is an article that was written in 1991, October 1991. The title of it is Halloween Festival of the Dead by Bill Usselton. And I'll just want to read, I'm going to read the entire article for your edification, for your consideration, and I pray that this will help to open our eyes to the truth behind this pagan ritual, this pagan holiday. I heard a reporter say last night on the news that, oh, we're so thankful to have a holiday. He said something to the effect, we're so thankful that this is a holiday that is a non-religious holiday. And I said, well, who made you an authority? Amen. How dare you speak what you don't know? Amen. So for the record, we want to present this for your that you may know and that you may understand, that I pray that you will take this and pass it on, and that you will help to spread this truth. I'll begin reading this article, Halloween Festival of the Dead. Halloween, the most horrifying of the ancient pagan holy days, is now upon us. While Christmas, Easter and virtually all of the holidays have a pagan origin. The most obvious of these pagan holidays is Halloween. The ancient Babylonians would have recognized the pagan significance of the sunrise service, colored eggs, and bunny rabbits on Easter. The Romans would have recognized the large roasted bird, drunkenness, and gifts on Christmas. However, these two holidays have been greatly altered through history and are now cloaked in the religious superstition of our own time. This is not true of Halloween, which is virtually identical today to the practices of those Druid-led worshippers in the Celtic lands of long ago. Man, Myth, and Magic, a 24-volume encyclopedia of the supernatural, relates the attempt of the Roman Catholic Church to quote-unquote Christianize the originally pagan holiday of Halloween. All Hallows' Eve or Halloween was originally a festival of fire and the dead and the powers of darkness. It is the evening of October 31st, the night before the Christian festival of All Hallows or All Saints' Day. All Hallows' Day commemorates the saints and martyrs and was first introduced in the 7th century. Its date was changed from May 13th to November 1st in the following century, probably to make it coincide with and Christianize a pagan festival of the dead. All Souls' Day in the Roman Catholic Church is November 2nd. It is marked by prayers for the souls of the dead. While the Roman Catholic Church enjoyed success in converting the originally pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter to more Christianized counterparts, this was not the case with Halloween. The international effort by the Catholic Church to stamp out the pagan ceremonies failed. This is not merely a history lesson, but is a warning. The study of the history of Halloween is necessary for all concerned Christians, for the practice of observing Halloween honors a force that is as real today as it was 2,000 years ago. We like to believe when the apostolic gifts diminished in the first century that the opposition of demonic influence and possession died out as well. However, nothing could be further from the truth. Demonic influence and possession afflict this century now as never before. Even the American Indian tribes, some of which were intense occultists, never had the social problems we have today. The August 6, 1991 edition of the Daily Oklahoman printed an extremely pertinent article by Thomas Sowell. Mr. Sowell, a black conservative, is recognized as one of the most articulate critics of Marxist liberalism. In his article entitled, "Experts Are Endangering Society," he used the recent serial killings committed by Jeffrey Dahmer to illustrate the shortcomings of our liberal society. In the article, he recognized the price for our society's rejection of the laws of God. And here's a quote from his article I read. "Has anyone asked just whose bright idea it was to parole the man, that is Jeffrey Dahmer, who has now confessed to multiple murders in Milwaukee? Of course not. Whoever it was did not even suffer the penalty of public embarrassment. All across this country, shrinks, experts can recommend the early release of the most vicious and dangerous criminals without being the least bit accountable for the consequences." End of quote from article. Back to the publication, here in the publication. Many people in this country are deeply involved in evil for evil's sake. The serial killer Richard Ramirez, known as the Night Stalker, yelled "Hail Satan" at his trial. Recently, Jeffrey Dahmer's homosexual murders have shocked the nation. A woman he dated briefly stated that she saw the candles flicker out when Jeff Dahmer said in a séance, "Let's contact Lucifer." Fortunately, she had the good sense to leave. Finally, the words of Edward Gein directly implicate the reality of evil as a force. The serial killer Edward Gein was a reclusive bachelor who committed such heinous crimes as grave robbing, fratricide, mutilation, murder, and even cannibalism in the small Wisconsin town of Plainfield in the late 1950s. Mr. Ginn was the source material for the Norman Bates character in the movie Psycho, as well as the source for the character Leatherface in the movie Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Harold Schitzer's book Deviant, The Shocking True Story of Ed Gein, the Original Psycho, states, "Eddie, too, as it turned out, felt that he was driven to his ghoulish activities by an irresistible force which he experienced and described to his interrogators as an evil spirit invading his mind from some place outside himself." The Cal Thomas editorial titled "Goodness versus Evil: Spiritual Explanation for Mass Murder" in the August 6, 1991 edition of the Daily Oklahoman shed some additional light on the subject. People in Milwaukee, like those in Houston 18 summers ago, the Dean Correll murders, wonder why the police or neighbors or someone did not notice what went on in these houses or the disappearance of so many people. An explanation is that our culture still believes that people are basically good and so tries to ignore things that do not conform to that presumption. Peck, that is Dr. M. Scott Peck, says he has been asked dozens of times why evil exists. Yet no one ever asked me, why is there good in the world? It is as if we automatically assume this is a naturally good world that has somehow been contaminated by evil. This opposite is not only more plausible, but the evidence seems to support such a conclusion that man is basically not good and needs to be controlled or and confronted to a common standard of goodness. Something is wrong, all right. The earth was good until Adam fell, and all men fell with him. Man's fallen nature and the curse on the earth are being felt even now. How dangerous it is to act as if evil is not a force. Therefore, if one would seem wise and prudent to examine the history of the most evil of Western holidays, Therefore, let me say that again. It would seem wise and prudent to examine the history of the most evil of Western holidays. Halloween originated from the ancient Celtic peoples. Barry Conliffe's book, The Celtic Whirl, describes the expanse of the Celtic race. From his book, he quotes, "Traces of the Celts can be found almost anywhere in temperate Europe. Their fortifications, hills, forts, and oppida are to be seen spreading in a broad arc from Yugoslavia to the north of Scotland. The museums of Europe store thousands of objects recovered from the excavations of graves and of settlement sites or dredged from rivers and bogs. While many of our great cities, including Budapest, Paris, Belgrade, stand on Celtic foundations. The countries of Scotland, Ireland, and Wales are populated largely by those of Celtic blood. Many of these areas retain the indigenous Celtic languages, as do the cities of Cornwall, England, and Brittany, France. The Funk and Wagnall Standard Reference Encyclopedia relates the following short history of Halloween. Halloween is a name applied to the evening of October 31st, preceding the Christian fest of Hallowmass or All Hallows or All Saints Day. The observances connected with Halloween are believed to have originated among the ancient Druids, who believed that on that evening, Samhain, the Lord of the Dead, called forth hosts of evil spirits. The Druids customarily lit great fires on Halloween, apparently for the purpose of warding off these spirits. Among the ancient Celts, Halloween was the last evening of the year, and it was regarded as a propitious time for examining the portents of the future. The Celts also believed that the spirits of the dead revisited their earthly homes on that evening. The general public is becoming increasingly aware of the original rites of Halloween. Largely responsible for this reawakening is the Halloween movie series of the 1980s. The Cult of Death, which is celebrated October 31st, is very well illustrated in these films. For the first time in thousands of years, many people are becoming aware of the origins and true significance of Halloween. Unfortunately, a marked rise in the ancient practices associated with Halloween has accompanied this new knowledge. In England, Ireland, Scotland, and France and America, many thousands of persons are reverting to the religion their ancestors referred to as the Festival of the Dead. Before examining the resurgence of modern witchcraft and its relation to the pagan rituals of Halloween, let's consult the Bible. Exodus 22 and 18 states plainly, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Exodus 22 and 20 further warns, "He that sacrificeth unto any god," as little g god, "save unto the Lord," capital L, "only, he shall be utterly destroyed." The Bible contains repeated denunciations of witchcraft and other related practices. Therefore, claims by modern witches that their practices are not opposed to the Bible are contradicted by the scriptures. Thus, although the numbers of those who practice the black arts are growing, it must be remembered that the ancient practices of sacrifice and witchcraft are expressly forbidden. There are those who will state that the modern-day ritual practice of Halloween is harmless fun for children and adults alike. Dressing up in costumes, going for trick, quote-unquote, trick or treat, creating large bonfires, and using pumpkins to create jack-o'-lanterns are all part of a harmless charade perpetuated once a year. While the original meaning of these rituals may have been lost or clouded in the minds of most people today, the actual methodology of witchcraft and worship survives to the present day. Therefore, it would seem prudent for any concerned Christian to examine the original meanings of the modern-day rituals associated with Halloween. The book, The Golden Bough, by Sir James Frazer, is a secular book written in the 19th century about the occult. In his book, Sir Frazer examines the original purpose for the creating of bonfires during the Halloween season. Here's a quote from the book. "Throughout Europe, Halloween, the night which marks the transition from autumn to winter, seems to have been of old the time of year when the souls of the departed were supposed to revisit their old homes in order to warm themselves by the fire and to comfort themselves with the good cheer provided for them in the kitchen or the parlor by their affectionate kinfolk. It was, perhaps, a natural thought that the approach of winter should drive the poor, shivering, hungry ghost from the bare fields and the leafless woodlands to the shelter of the cottage with his familiar fireside." Back to the article. "Thus, the original reasons for the bonfires so prevalent during Halloween was to attract the dead away from the homes of the living until the journey to the afterworld was complete. The same bonfires were also used for an incredibly grisly and vile ritual by the Celtic Druids. The La Crosse Encyclopedia of Mythology relates, on the eve of Samhain, the people on the side of the world left their domain and wandered in the world of man. Attacks by hostile supernatural powers and sacrifices are indicative of this insecurity and the need for propitiation. The Celts used the bonfires to predict the future through the practice of a terrible ritual. This ritual consisted of constructing a basket which contained an animal or, in some cases, a human being. This basket was then burned in the bonfire. It was the belief of the Celts that by watching the victim die by fire, they would be able to see the signs of the future as the sacrificial victim passed from this world into the next. Foretelling the future was an idea the Celts found intriguing. The Catholics correctly compared the Celtic Druids to the witches because of their pagan practice of using bonfires to predict the future. However, the practice of burning sacrificial animals and occasionally people remained unabated for many centuries, despite Catholic attempts to Christianize the holiday. Even in our time, animals are sacrificed on Halloween in Europe and in the Philippines, as well as in the Americas. It is also interesting to note that in some large American cities, the problem of arson during Halloween has become increasingly widespread. Some large cities have reported as many as 200 arson fires set to houses, both vacant and occupied, warehouses, churches, and office buildings during a typical Halloween night. While most modern-day Halloween bonfires, hopefully, do not sacrifice humans, its original meaning alludes to a time when such a heinous ritual was used for the vilest of intentions. The Bible is quite clear in denouncing such a horrendous practice. The Lord condemned King Ahaz because he burned his children in the fire to the pagan Gentile gods. 2 Kings 16:3, 2 Chronicles 28:3. Such an act brought shame and defeat to King Ahaz, as he was later conquered by both the Assyrians and his brethren of the northern kingdom of Israel. The Celts also believe that other macabre creatures roam freely on Halloween night. The book Man, Myth, and Magic says fairies could also be seen on All Hallows' Eve, moving from one fairy hill to another with the music of bells and elf horns. They were sometimes identified with the dead. The Celts held that fairies could be good and bad. However, the introduction of Christianity changed this distinction. The book Night of the Wandering Souls by Jack Santino reveals Samhain, with its emphasis on the supernatural, was very pagan. While missionaries identified Christian holy days with native holy days, they branded the earlier supernatural deities as evil and associated them with the devil, as representative of the ritual religion. Druids were considered evil, their gods and spirits devilish and demonic. The Celtic underworld inevitably became associated with the Christian hell. The effects of this policy were to diminish, but not totally dispel, beliefs in the traditional gods. According to priests, fairies were fallen angels, thus identifying them with devils in Christian theology. Thus, as the Celts converted to the new religion, they did not forget their stories of the dead traveling to the afterworld on Halloween, nor did sightings and activities of fairies cease being reported. Instead, manifestations of this night became overwhelmingly evil, and the festival adopted even more malicious overtones. Everything supernatural was attributed to demons who masqueraded as fairies, hobgoblins, vampires, and werewolves. These supernatural beings were regarded as very real and dangerous right up to the 20th century. As more Celts became Christian, they came to correctly regard the Druids as being witches. Witch hunting became a very common phenomenon until the 17th century, with the usual punishment prescribed being burned at the stake. While witch hunting crazes broke out indiscriminately, hunting witches during Halloween became virtually a national pastime. Man Myth and Magic states, darker and colder creatures still roam through the night on Halloween. Demons and hobgoblins, witches who straddle broomsticks or shank bones, flew in sieves or eggshells, or rode on cold black horses. The fires helped to keep them off, and at Balmoral in Queen Victoria's time, the effigy of a hideous old witch was ceremoniously burned on a bonfire at Halloween. It should be noted that Queen Victoria ruled the British Empire at its height during the 19th century. Witches have been very much on the public's mind during the last two millennia. Midnight of October 31st was considered an extremely hazardous time, as witches were believed to be actively hexing people and communing with the devil. Many Catholics took to making charms and casting white magic spells to protect themselves from the evil they knew to be very potent on this night. What many apparently did not realize was that the charms themselves were as evil as the witches they were supposed to thwart. Few people realize that the wearing and use of charms is simply another manifestation of witchcraft, be it rabbit's feet or religious medallions, trinkets, or other such relics. These objects are subject to demonic power, for the word charm means to cast a spell on. The use of such charms is expressly forbidden in Psalm 58, 3 and through 5. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. This is hardly a ringing endorsement for the use of charms. Furthermore, Isaiah 19:3 states, "And the spirit of Egypt shall fall in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. And they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards." The Lord purposefully groups together idol worshippers, witches, with familiar spirits, wizards, and charmers, and is explicit in his admonitions against their use or practice. Using witchcraft was a crime that caused King Saul of Israel his life. Then said Saul unto his servants, "Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, "I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee." 1 Samuel 28:7-8. The story of the Witch of Endor already possessed several significant similarities to the witches of the Celts. It should also be noted that Saul's activities with which the Witch of Endor took place at night, as do traditional Halloween activities. Familiar spirits are nothing more than demons, and the fairies and leprechauns of Celtic myths are the same as familiar spirits. The Lord's punishment upon Saul was pronounced to him that very night, and the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thy hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyedest not the voice of the Lord, nor executedest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore the Lord done this thing unto thee, the Lord has done this thing unto thee this day. 1 Samuel 28:17-18. The Lord's pronouncements concerning witchcraft are quite clear. There is no such thing as white magic. It is all evil and empowered by evil beings. The activities of Halloween, the making of charms, divining the future, the practice of magic and dealing with unclean spirits or demons are explicitly forbidden to mankind. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12. This is a very explicit command from the Lord. Thus, the ancient Celtic ritual of Halloween practiced today in America is pagan in origin and innately linked with the occult, about which the Bible has much to say and warns against. Another modern-day Halloween ritual is trick or treat, where children dress up in costumes and roam from house to house asking for food and candy. Presumably, if the inquiry for food and candy is refused, a trick to the homeowner results. This practice, which became quite prevalent during this century, has increasingly fallen into disfavor by many parents of small children. During the 1970s and 80s, incidents of small children receiving poison candy, cookies, and apples concealing razor blades and fish hooks have made many parents fearful to take their children on the traditional neighborhood trick-or-treat routes. In recent years, even hospitals have offered to voluntarily x-ray candy to determine if tampering has taken place. Increasingly, parents have started taking their children to pre-arranged trick-or-treats at shopping malls where merchants hand out candy from the storefronts. While this practice should help ensure the practice of trick-or-treat is more safe, this does not change the fact that trick-or-treat has pagan and occult origins in the first place. Among the Celts, as well as the Chinese, Egyptians, and even the Aztecs, it was thought the spirits of the dead required food and drink. During the festival of Samhain, the people would leave various articles of food outside to placate the spirits. This was very important, for only the finest food and drink were left outside for the spirits to consume on their way to the netherworld. To supply nothing meant that the hungry, irritated spirit might intrude into someone's house. Leaving out food that had spoiled was also considered an open invitation to disaster. Therefore, families who faced uncertain diets, often of low quality, gave what was most precious to them, food. This takes on added implications when it is considered that food at that time was very difficult to preserve. Moreover, Halloween marked winter's beginning, when food was at its scarcest and starvation was not uncommon. From this practice evolved the modern-day equivalent of the trick-or-treat. Jack Santino relates, virtually all of our Halloween customs today can be traced to the ancient Celtic Day of the Dead. Each of Halloween's many mysterious customs has a history or at least a story behind it. The wearing of costumes, for instance, and the roaming from door to door demanding treats can be traced to the Celtic period and the first few centuries of Christianity, when it was thought that the souls of the dead were out and around, along with fairies, witches, and demons. Food and drink were left out to placate them. As the centuries wore on, people began dressing as these dreadful creatures and performing antics in exchange for offerings of food and drink. This practice, called mumming, evolved into our present trick or treating. To this day, witches, ghosts, and skeleton figures of the dead are among the favorite disguises. The practice of wearing masks and costumes to represent evil creatures is universal in the human experience. In all the inhabited areas of the earth, from the Indians of America to China, traditions exist in which individuals who dress to represent a god or demon are imbued with supernatural powers and often given presents or beneficial treatment. There is a reason for this. Idols and masks of idols are representative of something. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. 1 Corinthians 10th chapter 19th through 21st verse. So the Bible tells us that idols represent demons. Demon being the actual word used in the original Greek text. In fact, trick or treating children often masquerade as demons. Food is given to these children under the guise of a trick or treat. Finally, another custom associated with Halloween is that of the jack-o'-lantern. Virtually everyone in this country has seen one. In the United States, the jack-o'-lantern is made of a carved pumpkin. In Europe, where the concept for the jack-o'-lantern originated, a turnip is used. The switch to a pumpkin was made in America because the pumpkin is larger and easier to carve. The original tale of the jack-o'-lantern is in several ways reminiscent of the classical tale of Dr. Faustus. A blacksmith by the name of Jack made a contract with Satan. Jack would be given powers by Satan that would make him the best blacksmith in the world for a period of 7 years. In return, Satan would demand Jack's soul at the end of this period. Jack thus received the powers and hung a sign out his shop proclaiming himself the master of all masters. As the story goes, one day the Son of God came to the shop accompanied by the Apostle Peter. The sign had indicated that the owner was in need of religious indoctrination. Thus, the two worked several miracles to no avail in Jack's presence. Peter then offered Jack three wishes, which Jack immediately seized upon. Jack Centeno relates. First, he wished that whenever he told someone to climb a nearby pear tree, that person would have to stay in the tree until Jack allowed him to come down. He made the same wishes regarding his armchair and his purse. "You have wished very foolishly," said St. Peter. "You should have wished for everlasting peace in heaven." Nevertheless, Jack used these three wishes to trick the devil when he came to take his soul. Each time the devil came, Jack tricked him into climbing the tree, sitting in his chair, and finally shrinking himself and entering his purse. Each time, the devil gave Jack 7 years in return for his freedom, and finally he simply fled in terror. However, Jack could not live forever. When presented at heaven's pearly gates, Peter would not allow Jack inside. Denied entrance into heaven, Jack went to hell. At the gates of hell, Satan refused Jack entrance, saying that Jack was full of too many tricks and would cause mischief. Satan then ordered the gates of hell closed. But before Jack was thrown out, he managed to scoop out a burning coal from the fires of hell with a turnip he had been eating. As this coal came from hell, it was eternal and could never be extinguished. Thus, Jack was doomed to roam the earth with his peculiar lantern, his jack-o'-lantern, if you will. The Halloween festival became fully established in America after the huge influx of Irishmen as a result of the Great Potato Famine of 1846. America in that era was quite religious, and so the stories of fairies and leprechauns, as well as demons and ghosts, were accepted as fact. Religious beliefs aside, there was a time when people who were less educated tended to be more superstitious. In America, the Indian, the Negro, and the poor white settlers in Appalachian and Ozark regions tended to take such superstitions seriously indeed. According to Collier's Encyclopedia, as recently as 1957, a virus epidemic in Alaska caused an uproar among the native Eskimo population, being convinced the epidemic was the result of the work of witches. Local authorities had to prevent the Eskimo community from destroying the witches responsible for the plague. Generally speaking, we tend to think the more educated secular population in society is less superstitious. However, with the rise of the New Age movement, an increase in the practice of so-called natural religions or paganism has occurred. A great many of the adherents to modern New Age philosophy do not fit in the aforementioned less educated mold. Quite the contrary, many adherents to New Age philosophy are professional, well-educated individuals. This has also resulted in an increased interest in the occult and the high holiday of the occult, Halloween. We believe revival of witchcraft and the black arts is indicative of the end times. Satan knows the time of Christ's return is near, and he is mustering all of his forces to engage in a battle he has already lost. Let no one doubt that witchcraft and sorcery are very real. The number of occult-related murders has been on the increase in this country for more than a generation. Moreover, one of the most significant occult dates of all, the one favored for the Black Mass, is Halloween. It is of great importance to realize that the powers some claim are not powers of themselves. Real sorcery relies on demonic power. Ephesians 6:12 states, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." In conclusion, there is only one way to win against Satan. The victory is through Jesus Christ. End of article. Amen. Listen, praise be to God. I just wanted to share with you that article. I just wanted you to know, America, that this thing is real. This is nothing to be played with. And I want the church especially to know, do not get caught up in this wickedness. Do not get caught up thinking you can change something or you can compromise or somehow glorify God by offering some kind of alternative. Do not acknowledge it. Do not touch it. Do not taste it. Do not handle it. Amen. This is wisdom. Hallelujah. Listen, thank you very much for your time. And we pray that you will take this, and we pray that you will use this, and that you will spread this, that you will talk about this among your family and your friends and your loved ones, among your church family. We must hang to the truth. We must know the truth. Amen. We must keep this truth ringing forth. You all, nothing's changed. It's the same. Amen. The more things change, the more they stay the same. All the devil does is take, the devil hasn't changed anything he does. He just takes it and reshapes it, repackages it, and presents it as something new. But as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun, especially in the world of wickedness and evil. Amen. So listen, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And I thank God for Jesus, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Listen, we'll talk to you all next time. My time is up. God bless you all. The Lord be with you. The Lord keep you. And we will continue on next time. The Lord says the same. God keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. This program is made possible by the grace of God through the faithfulness of the partners and friends of Lodestar Ministries and the contributions of listeners like you.